Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless
you. Our message today, I was reminded of an old familiar story. You know, I sometimes have some of these. There was a farmer who decided that he knew as much as any doctors. Anybody know farmers like that? And so he decided he was going to open up a doctor's office. And he said that he'd charge $500 a visit, but if he couldn't cure you, he would pay you $1,000. So there was a doctor in town, as you can imagine, who was pretty frustrated about all this. And so the town doctor decided that he was going to cash in on this. So he went to the farmer and he said, "Hey, look, I've lost my sense of taste. Can you cure me?" And the farmer doctor said, "Nurse, give him 3 drops from that little blue bottle over there." And so the doctor drank it and spit it out and said, "It's gasoline." And the farmer doctor said, "You're cured. That'll be $500. So he paid him his $500, and the doctor was pretty mad, and he decided he'd try another approach. So he came back into the farmer doctor, and he said, "I've lost my short-term memory." To which the farmer doctor said, "That's a tough one. Nurse, give him 3 drops from that blue bottle over there." He said, "Wait a minute, that's gasoline." He said, "You're cured! You're cured!" Once again, it'll be $500. So third time, doctor's getting kind of irritated, so he said, "Well, I'm definitely going to stump him this time." So he went in and he said, "Doctor, I've lost my ability to see." He goes, "Oh, that's terrible. I can't fix that. I can't fix that at all." So well, hold out your hand. And so the farmer doctor paid him $50. He said, "That's not, you're cured. You're cured. You're cured." You know how it is. Well, today in our message, we're going to look to see how the prophet Elijah, he didn't just fake something. He was created. God did a work of transformation in his heart. Not one that he was trying to fake a position, but become a great servant of God. And so I know for a lot of us, as I talk to us, that when we begin to try to serve Christ, there's this thing inside of us that says, you know, are we legit? Do we really know enough to serve? Are we there? Are we just kind of faking it? What's the deal? And so I want to talk to you today about the process of becoming a servant of God. The process of doing it. And we're going to see something kind of cool here in 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to start in verse 19, but let me set it up. Because last week we left off with the prophet Elijah and his encounter with God at the cave on Mount Horeb. God let him know several things that I think that we need to be reminded of. First of all, is that he is not alone. And that's an important thing for us, that he reminded him to consider that in that time of despair, to ask this question: what are you doing here? What are you doing here? If you weren't with us, go online, and all those messages are up on the website, and you can take a look at those. And so God had this encounter with him, and then God gave him renewed purpose, and all of this was part of his journey back from despair. And so we kind of pick up our story here. So after this encounter, we say, "So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. And he was with the 12th." That's important, okay? "Elijah passed him by and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to you?' And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him." Now here's why this is interesting, gang. Because if we recall last week, when God kind of took Elijah, when he was running in this point of despair, he had suffered intimidation at the threat of Jezebel. I mean, even after God did all these wonderful things, God gave him some instructions. He told him, go return from the wilderness to Damascus. And when you arrive, he told him that he was to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And then Jehu, the son of Nishi, you should anoint to be king over Israel. And then Elisha, the son of Shaphath, you're going to anoint as prophet in your state. So he told him, I want you to anoint this king. I want you to anoint this king. Then, or not then, but in an order, Elisha to be prophet in your stead. Now here, this is what I think is interesting. What was the train wreck that we talked about 2 weeks ago that led Elijah to this place? Is that he was doing it on his own. Remember, he left his servant at the wilderness. He suffered, you know, after seeing these miracles of God, and then he hit a rough time. And what is it about when we hit the rough times in our lives that we separate and we isolate from our brothers and sisters and people who walk with us rather than lean into them? And when he separated, when he found himself alone, despair set in. And all of a sudden the voice of the enemy whispers and whispers and whispers. And so I think that Elijah, here's some good news. I see him learning a lesson. Wouldn't it be great if we could learn from the lessons of life instead of repeating them? I don't know about you, but I get pretty frustrated when I look around and think, I've seen this tree before. When I'm wandering in life and I'm like, you know what, I've been here before. I know how this story ends. Everybody been that? Who's brave enough to say I've made the same mistake more than once? Yeah. And doesn't that just burn your grits when that happens? If that's a saying, you know, doesn't that just kind of get you? Well, the good news is, I think Elijah is come to a place of resolve saying, you know what? I'm going to learn from my mistake. What's very important to me is that I have to seek out relationships. So why does he go? He goes, why does he anoint Elisha first? Why doesn't he go this other way? Okay? See, he's called to go back and anoint three people, and it's interesting, why did he choose? Because I bet this, if they said, look, you know, I've got some people I want you to meet, and the first one is a king, and the second one is a king, and the third one is a nobody, who are we probably going to go after in our culture today? Before you say, oh, not the king. If some pop star was coming to town, y'all be just tipping over yourself to go get there, right? So here's my first point today, and I just got three quick points for you today. Point number one is this: prioritize relationships. My church family, we have to prioritize relationships. Are we really willing to do that? You know, this is some great advice, and I got to tell you why it's great advice, because we are entering and we are already in a very divisive time here in our nature, in our nation. I mean, we have to value relationships. It's a very sad thing that I've been talking with several friends, and several of my friends have said, I have lost lots of friends over politics in the past few months. That people who we used to be able to disagree agreeably, that kind of seems out the window now. Right? And I know people, oh, let's not talk about politics. Let's talk about how politics affects us, gang. Because it's legit. Okay? Because we have to understand, we got to value our relationships. And I think it's a very troubling thing in the church, especially when we don't value relationships. And so what we see is Elijah put a greater value on developing a relationship with Elisha than his calling to involvement in the politics of the time. Can I get an amen? Elisha really looked and said, you know what, there's something deeper here that's not only going to be good for me, it's going to be good for them. And I have to kind of stay out of the fray of these things, because obviously anointing kings is a fairly political thing. And if you understand what's going on in the history, there are some people who need to be anointed. There are some kings who are acting horribly, okay? That was a pun from Mount Horeb, but no one got it. Okay. There are some kings who were really had some issues going on. And so I hope that we can do the same. So as we're getting ready to enter this time of history, gang, we must put a greater value on developing relationships than necessarily this calling of political involvement. I think it's crucial for us, because when we don't value relationships, relationships begin to wither and to die. Okay? Now, that is not me. You know, people are saying, you don't understand, preacher. We have to win this election. We have to win this election. This is the most important election that's ever been in the universe. Let me tell you this. It is a very important election. There have been very important elections, and God is still in control, and God is still on His throne. I'm not saying don't be involved in politics. I'm saying don't let politics become your God. Thank you. Somewhere up there in the Shark Tank. Yes. And again, I'm all about having involvement and being responsible citizens. What I'm saying is don't lose your faith. Your faith is eternal. Kings will rise and fall. The scripture says kingdoms will rise and fall. Nations will rise and nations will fall, but the kingdom of God endures forever. And so remember our eternal involvement in the kingdom. So in that sense, I've got this next phrase. You're going to click twice. Value winning souls to Jesus more than winning votes. Imagine if that's how we approached each day. That we wanted to win souls to the kingdom of God more than we wanted to win votes towards a specific political party or a political election. You know, look, it needs to be said in a polarized culture, gang, that it is the love of Christ that wins souls, not convincing people on arguments of social issues or even economic issues, which are important. I'm not saying that they're not important. I'm saying that they need not be your Lord. And that we really need to keep ourselves locked in. Again, those of you who know me, I'm pretty engaged to a degree on these things, but I've recognized that there has to be this understanding that we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So if we understand this, we realize that relationships are the key building block of God's kingdom. Relationships, relationships, relationships. I know devout believers who have some very diverse political affiliations, and their perceptions on the place that government has in our life and in our society. And you know what? Those are difficult issues. And unfortunately, the world is telling us right now that we have to divide, 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 divide. I just want to encourage you to value relationships. Value relationships. Because I believe that no matter what happens outside, that God is wanting to win souls. Even souls who think differently than you. By the way, what was Jesus' advice for us, if we have to use the word enemy, which I really don't like. I don't like using the word enemy about someone who thinks differently than me, because I think everyone should be in one way or another called together, but we're supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to share Christ with them. Well, I remind you, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Good advice here. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together and keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Gang, we need to pour into relationships. So when you're in your difficult time and you get your feelings hurt and your nose gets knocked out of joint, is not the time to go run and hide and sulk. It's the time to lean in to your brother or sister in Christ, in marriages. Fantastic advice for marriages. When you have conflict, do not stop talking. That's when you need to talk. I will say talk, not yell, so sometimes a timeout is necessary. But communication is the key to relationships, healthy communication. And by the way, in looking at what Elijah begins to do with Elisha, we see the principle of Psalms 145 verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Do you want to know why my personal belief, this is my personal take, why we have a generation of people who are leaving the church and who just have no affiliation? The fastest growing religious group in our country right now is called the nuns. They check none of the above. None. Why? Because one generation didn't do a very good job declaring his works to the next. And I'm going to get I'm going to go ahead and just step in it. Because what we've done in some way is we said it's someone else's job. So we don't talk about things that are uncomfortable with our own children and our own family. We don't have those conversations. We say someone else is supposed to have those conversations with our children, with the next generation. We say, oh, well, that's the school's job. Guess what? They kick God out of school. Well, that's the church's job. Okay, great. Guess what? We can only be a part of it. It comes down to this. We need to be talking about faith. What's the pastor's job? Great. I accept that. But it's your job too. Okay? I accept that. But it's your job too. And part of my job is to encourage you to do your job. I'm not called to be you for you. So in your sphere of influence, what do I need to do? How many volts do I need to hook up to the pew to get you to respond? You know? What do I need to send online to shake you? You know, what do I need to mail? Okay, what mailing group, what telemarketer do I need to call to get to call you to do this? No, gang, it's our job. Our job is to declare the goodness of God to the next generation. 2 Timothy 2, 2 and 3. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. My church family, value relationships. Now, I know the first thing, I know what's happening, because when I tell people to value relationships, the first thing they say to me is, well, you don't know how I've been hurt. Right. I get it. Trust me, I get it. Okay? But we have to understand, when we walk with people, I have yet to find the perfect person here on earth. Has anybody else found the perfect person? Okay? So what does that mean? We need to give each other grace. Point number two. If we do the point number one, which is prioritize relationships, here's what we see, something fantastic with Elijah. Then he left and ran after, this talking about Elisha. Elisha left and ran at, left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So, point number two, prioritize giving grace. Have you ever thought about this? That sometimes the people who we're called to be around aren't perfect. And we get so frustrated we just write them off, or we're done with them. I don't think that this was necessarily the response that Elijah was looking for. Because I know this, when I, you know, and I'm guilty of this, sometimes in the office or in work, when I say jump, you know, I want people to jump. When I say, hey, we got to do something, I want to do, I'm kind of a get or done kind of person. I get kind of some flack about that, that sometimes I get a little bit intense. Is that true, Ellie?
No.
Okay, yeah. So there's the deal. Do the dishes. No. So, now the deal is this, we have to prioritize. It's hard growing up in my house. I'm going to tell you, it is hard growing up in my house. And that's the truth. And I'm trying to get better about this and understand that I'm not perfect. And I think what we see with, that's enough conversation in the front row. I'm sorry, and give you grace. Go ahead and talk. Yeah. The deal is this, gang. Elijah, look where he was in his life. He just blew it. I mean, he stood on this mountaintop and saw miracle after miracle happen. And then Jezebel says, I'm going to get you. And he's like, ah, and he's running for his life. And he totally blows it. He separates. He makes all kinds of mistakes. And then God has a little time out with him. And something in him has learned from this encounter. Can we take how God has dealt with us and deal likewise to others? Because I don't know about you, but God's given me a whole mess of grace. He's given me a lot of grace. I'm thankful that God has given me a lot of grace. Therefore, maybe in building relationships, I need to give some grace. Am I speaking to anybody today? These people online? People outside, honk your horn? Okay. Look, even Elijah needed grace. Remember his time in the wilderness where he laid down underneath this scrub tree. He laid down to this broom tree and he's saying, oh, you know, I'm just ready to die. I'm just no good. And an angel of the Lord came to him. He didn't just get up and go. He remained there. And then the angel of the Lord came again. I mean, he's giving Elijah grace. And now Elijah is giving Elisha some grace. When we realize that we have received grace, we become full of grace. Okay? When we see that we have returned grace. And so to mentor successfully, you have to meet people where they are. By the way, that's what Jesus did. If we want to pour into people successfully, you got to meet them right where they are. You have to meet them right where they are. And asking, what have I done to you? He's basically giving Elisha free choice. He's saying, look, you got to answer what I've done to you, okay? Because what have I done to you? He's given him the opportunity to follow and to be prophet in his stead. That's a pretty amazing thing. He's giving him choice. He's offering an opportunity, but he's also giving him some room. And maybe, just maybe, we can give people some room. Now, by the way, grace is not condoning bad decisions. And I get kind of tired of that. Grace, I'm not condoning bad decisions, and I'm not saying that we let people live a life with no standard. I'm not saying that we don't encourage and make the standard very clear and raise people up to be people of integrity. I'm saying this, gang, that the process to get there sometimes takes a little while. And I've had to walk that out in my life. I can't tell you how many stupid mistakes I've made. And I don't want to just continue to live there. God has given me grace, so I want to do it. So God's not condoning bad decisions, but he's allowing room for growth. And I want you to know, I'm surrounded by imperfect people, and you are surrounded by imperfect people. Don't get so frustrated and throw them all out and say, there's no one that I can identify with. Guess what? You're not perfect either. Perfect person, please raise your hand so we can all throw something at you. Okay? In fact, sometimes I've recognized that I am brought into imperfect people's situations for a reason. How easy would it have been for Elijah to say, you know what, you don't have what it takes. That's not the response that I need. If you don't realize what it's going to take to be a prophet here, that's not what Elijah's response is. You know, he basically understands and extends some grace. So gang, that's an important thing. And here's what happens when grace is extended, and we're getting ready for our final point, and we're going to flip the script a little bit. So let's go on. Actually, I got that one on the bottom. Sorry. Jesus met them where they were and called them to where he purposed them to be. So that's what he does. Let's go on to verse 19 through 21. So this is what happens. So he found Elisha. This is what Elijah did, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Okay, so he didn't just have one tractor, he had 12 tractors. Imagine that. Imagine going into a field and seeing somebody with 12 tractors. And if you had 12 tractors, most people I know who would have the ability to have 12 tractors sure wouldn't be driving the 12. They'd be sitting back in the air conditioning drinking tea somewhere, right? So we see something about it. Not only does he have some wealth and some power and some skill, but he was with the 12th, and they were in front of him. And so he's not only doing this, Elisha has some pretty intense skills here, okay? Elijah passed him by and cast his cloak upon him. When he left the oxen, he ran after Elijah and said, let me kiss my father and mother and I'll follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh and the yokes of oxen and gave it to the people. And they ate, and he arose and went after Elisha and kissed. Okay, so obviously, Elisha, he either was extremely successful or he came from a great wealth. Okay? Why is this important? He had a lot to lose in walking away from that life. He had a lot to lose. He had a great opportunity, but it was going to be costly. Luke chapter 9, Jesus says this in verse 23 and 24. If anyone, let's all read this verse together. And you at home, please open your Bible to Luke 9, 23, 24. You can look at the screen. And let's all read this together. Church, ready? 1, 2, 3. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. I want you to know something. Elisha obviously was a hard worker. I mean, it's laid out here. This dude had some skills. This dude had some authority. This dude had some power. He didn't just sit back and let others work for him. He was with that 12th yoke of oxen. He was overseeing. We can infer from this. And here's what I want to tell you. God values hard work. Boy, is that countercultural today. No one wants to work hard. People want to find some shortcut, some easy way, and that's great. Work smart. I always think work smart better than... But we have to work hard, and we have to be diligent. It is important to understand. I tell my kids all the time, look, you got to add value. You got to add value when you're doing something. If you're working, you need to be an example of those things. Look, and that's... God values hard work. In fact, promotion comes through faithfulness and faithfulness. In Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, who God promoted and who Christ praised in the parable was those who did something with what they were given. So I want to ask you a question, church. What are you doing with what He's given? Are you working hard? Or are you kind of sitting back? And by the way, the goal of Christianity and the goal, I know the goal of America seems to be work so you can just not work and just kind of do nothing. That'll get you. Doing nothing will get you. The value of our faith is not to not do. It's to continue to work diligently and be a good steward of what He has given us. Elijah comes up and he has a big choice, a costly choice. And here's what I found about giving grace to people. When you give grace to people, they're more willing to make the big choice. I think if I look at this encounter and if I see Elijah say, hey, I'm going to chuck my coat upon you. Come follow me. And he says, oh, I've got this stuff to do. And he blows up at him and he's done. He takes his cloak and walks away. That's not what he did. He gave grace and Elisha made this enormous decision. Third, final point. Prioritize sacrificial service. Prioritize sacrificial service. So what do we need to do? What are we learning here about how to develop relationships? We need to, number one, prioritize the importance of relationships. It is important that we, and then we have to prioritize giving grace, and then we have to prioritize sacrificial service. Everybody say sacrificial service, okay? Sacrificial service. In other words, serving when it hurts. Serving when it's not opportune. Elisha fully committed to service. I mean, it's kind of like this in, was it 1519, the Spanish conquistador, Cortez, when he landed. And the first thing they did was they burnt their boats. You know, they landed in Veracruz and they began their conquest. I'm not validating the conquest. That's obviously in today's environment, that's a touchy subject. But it was a very interesting thing that they determined at that point when they landed, as the story goes, they burnt their ships. So there was no turning back. Elisha's kind of doing this thing. He's saying, all right, I'm burning my oxen. I'm making a decision to follow Christ, to follow the prophet and to serve the prophet. I'm leaving this life and I'm serving God. And so I guess my question for us is, are we holding anything back? Because Elisha held nothing back. He left the family business. He didn't even leave an opportunity to go back to it. Elisha did not carry his past into this new chapter in his life. And so for those of us today, you know, who maybe have a whole lot of things that we walked away from, I want to encourage you, don't lament them. Don't lament the decisions that you made to make a commitment towards Christ. And then the flip side of the coin, for those of you who have a past maybe more like my past, which was kind of sketchy and not maybe making the best decisions in life, don't carry your past into the future that God has for you. God offers us a new life. And just like Elisha stepped away from living a life that was, you know, obviously, you know, a tremendous setup here, you know, 12 oxen, that's something else. That maybe we had 12 oxen that we were carrying around. Maybe we had 12 bad habits, whatever it is. God has for us to walk in, prioritize sacrificial service. You see, and finally, he now has a new identity as Elijah's servant. That's what Elisha finds. And I think for us, when we give grace, that's an important transformation that can happen in our life. When we receive grace, when we give grace, and when we prioritize sacrificial service, a new identity comes to us. So a couple questions here in conclusion. Question number one, how can we value creating and maintaining kingdom relationships? Seriously, I want you to think about this week. I want you to think about how do we apply this message? How do we apply this in our lives? Simple question number one. How can you value creating and maintaining kingdom relationships in your life? Question number two. In what ways are you being called to give grace to those around you? In other words, who is that person who's driving you crazy? Who's that person who's just driving you nuts? Worship team, you can go ahead and come back up. What ways are you being called to give grace to those around us? And finally, what are we holding on to that hinders our sacrificial service to the Lord? Do we refuse to burn the oxen? Are we? What is it that we're holding on to that's stopping us from fully committing to serving, to giving our lives in sacrificial service? Honestly, I think if we see those three things, we're going to see the hand of God move. We're going to see transformation come into our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Would you join me in we pray? Father of God of heaven, we praise you and we thank you for your word to us today. And God, as we are coming into, again, this kind of very divisive time in our nation, God, I pray that you would keep us above the fray. I pray, God, that you would empower your church. I pray that you'd empower each person who's heard your word today, that we would prioritize relationships. And in doing so, you would give us that understanding to prioritize grace that transforms our lives, that empowers us to move on. And Father, give us that insight from your Spirit to do a quick inventory and to see what are those things that we're still holding on to. What are those oxen we refuse to burn? What are those yokes that we're still holding on to? What is that door that we're leaving open that's stopping us from fully committing to you? And God, I just pray for faith to be able to walk through that. I pray, God, that we could take from Elisha's example and that we could count up the cost. And Father, make a difference in those around us. Lord, those who haven't fully committed to following you and to serving you in a sacrificial way, I pray your word would find us today. And Lord, that you would challenge us to step up, that we can see your will fulfilled in our life. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. God bless you, church family. Let's
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.